Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, welcome and greetings. You're listening to Talk Straight on this July 19th, Tuesday night, July 19th, 2022. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for everyone who has joined us over the last 5 years or so, and certainly in advance, those that will join us this evening. We welcome you to share with us here. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. And guess what? It's open mic night again tonight, which means here on Talk Straight, we leave the floor open to you, our listening audience, for the next about an hour and a half or so to share with us current events, things on your heart, on your mind. We will do our best to address them in a responsible fashion, in a respectable manner. And even though we have different opinions, so far we've been able to manage ourselves fairly well here to share and engage in robust dialogue. And sometimes we get a little heated, you know. I'm a little opinionated at times, you know what I mean? But that's okay. That's okay. We encourage you to give us a call here. If you're following us on Facebook Live, feel free to post your question or your comment there. We've been having some issues with our Facebook streaming, and a number of people are telling me they're not getting the announcements and so forth. Done what I understood I could to deal with that, but there's some things apparently behind the scene beyond my control. Nonetheless, if you're watching us on live stream, feel free to post your question or comments there. I think I can see them. But more importantly, give us a call. Call us tonight. The number in the studio is 657-383-0944. I'd be happy to entertain it. Last week we had a pretty good Valero, and a very, very important product. Excuse me, dealing with purification. And had a guest on with him, Miss Liddy Flom, who works with him as well, and she's a partner. And then Miss Alexeva, Olga Alexeva, who is a local partner here in Nashville. And we've had discussions with her about providing some presentations and some seminars and kind of further educate the Nashville public on that particular thing. But we enjoyed that. Pastor Wallace, hope that he'll be able to join us here tonight, our co-host, and even you. We're, again, this is open mic, so I'm not presenting a specific topic at hand. However, there are enough current events that are going on for us to really, really look at some things. One thing in particular is it appears as though there is I don't know if it's something in the air or what, but people are just, particularly young people, have taken the notion that whatever comes to their mind, whatever impulse that hits them, it seems that they believe it's okay to act without regard to the impact it may have on others. Looking at the incident there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the last week, just another one in Indiana. I think it was Greenwood or Greenville, Indiana. And then in the Chicago area, rather unsettling incident. We had a little bit of that here in Nashville where young people were taken to public streets, taking their vehicles, and drag racing in the middle of the street, just totally stopping traffic, both on a Bradley Parkway here and in the middle of the street, right? Of course, that's illegal. What would make a young person think for a second that's acceptable, that there wouldn't be any repercussions? I think they pretty much controlled it here, but that flared up in Chicago recently, among the other major issues there with crime. In New York, yet another tragedy and what have you. You know, of course, these things are in the news, and if you're not careful, they can really drive you crazy trying to keep up with all of them. But they're real incidents. They're real events. Too, beloved, is the need for all of us, irregardless to your ethnicity, to your gender, your political persuasion or affiliation. It speaks to the need for all of us to think about how we can bring calm and civility and control to our neighborhoods, our communities, to our state, the United States of America. And there's a lot of political fighting and things of that nature and idealistic fights and what have you. You know, but at the end of the day, what is it going to be for all of us to recognize? What it's going to take for us to recognize when one hurt, we all hurt. You understand? Another incident in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I think it was just last week, where a 20-year-old had a terrible engagement with law enforcement and ultimately lost his life. Well, here's the interesting thing about it. What this young man was doing that caused him to have the engagement with law enforcement is that he shot into the apartment of his neighbor who had small children in the house. Now, I understand that his family reported that he was struggling with mental illness. Kind of speaks to something that I spoke to a couple of weeks ago. That's a real thing. And it's interesting that so many young people are presenting these significant issues with mental illness. Well, do you not know that preliminarily what some of the research is showing is that there's a correlation to this manifestation of mental illness with social disorder in their life and the use of certain chemical substances, the most mildly there being marijuana. Yeah. There are reports in several areas, particularly in the areas where it become legalized, the states, where teenagers, parents are reporting major issues with their teenagers with certain sicknesses and what have you. Now, I understand the argument that people shouldn't go to jail for doing something that they enjoy. It's kind of like going to eat pizza, right, or drink a beer. I get that argument. But, beloved, I just want to ask the question, and maybe if you're listening, you can call 657-383-0944. Is that necessary? Right? I understand that there's a certain euphoric feeling that comes from it, but it has consequences. Okay? When I was running for office a few years ago, I had the privilege of talking to a group of young people who wanted to know if they could count on me, if I were elected, to sponsor and support legislation that will legalize marijuana in the state of Tennessee. And there are some who are still pushing for that. My understanding is, to the extent that there are medicinal uses, it's been legalized, and certain forms of it has been legalized to sell, okay? The oil and what have you, CBD oils and things of that nature. Well, what they're finding now, emergency rooms are reporting, again with young people largely, that a couple of things happen. One, they're using it too much and it's causing a problem for them, physically, right? And then two, it's introducing itself into public schools. Forms of gummies that look like candy, or children, unbeknownst to them, that this stuff that is laced in cookies and snacks and what have you, they take them and share them. There was a report, if I'm not mistaken, not too long ago, about a daycare that was affected by something like this. Now, I'm not suggesting that the parents of these children had intentions or nefarious intentions to introduce these things. However, that is, again, the consequence. See, for every action, there's an equal reaction. And for every choice we make, I said we make, there's a consequence. As a society, why don't we say that just like you don't need to drink too much orange juice because it can throw your electrolytes off, or too much milk, right? You don't need those. You can live without them. And what would your life be like without them? And my come up, they were the gateway to stronger drugs. Well, now young people are buying things offline and thinking they're pills and medicine that they have a tendency to swap and share with one another, high school and college age children. Largely. And sadly, they're losing their lives because they're laced with fentanyl. Just another issue. Mentality that it's okay to engage in chemical substances is what the problem is. That's a conversation that parents, not politicians, not the news media, and not even directly the church so much alone, but parents can and ought to have with their children. Why you don't need that? Why you don't need to place yourself in a position where you create a problem that you have to solve? See what I mean? I want to know from you all. Y'all give me a call here, 657-383-0944. What is it? How necessary, and And if it is absolutely necessary, should we encourage our young people to use chemical substances like marijuana and things of that nature? We had a show like that a few years ago, and a gentleman out of St. Louis was on with us, and a gentleman out of, I believe it was Georgia, and they made the case about a doctor, a professor, I can't remember where the, what university it was he was at, where he was testifying before Congress. And he, in his mind, he was providing some evidence for in support of the use of marijuana and things of that nature. And since that time, that's been about a few years ago, since that time, what we've discovered is that more negative effects have come than positive. And the crux of his argument is that with the laws against it, it set too many, particularly minorities, up to go to jail for sale and distribution. Okay. So how do you deal with that, Dr.? How do you deal with that, the fact that young people, African-American males largely, go to jail disproportionately for selling controlled substances, drugs? Well, I would argue that you sit those young people down and you ask them how willing or what are they willing to do to change that behavior, right? You know, first of all, make them aware of what's wrong with it. You notice I'm not taking a punitive tact here or approach. Whatever the case is, you don't need to do that. There was a TV show when I grew up called Beretta, and I don't know if it was down here in the South, but certainly up north in Chicago, and the Robert Blake was the central actor on the show, the main character, and he would, the song would say, if you can't do the time, then don't do the crime. He was a detective, and he was nefarious about grabbing people and catching them in criminal acts and locking them up and what have you, roughing them up and things of that nature, like manic, you know. But I said that to say that we have to be honest with people in general. And it's not just young people, because I hear a lot of old folk making excuses and justifying reckless, irresponsible, dangerous type behaviors. Do you think I'm wrong? Give me a call here, 657-383-0944. I am open to hear where I'm going wrong from your perspective, and we'll have dialogue, right? So give us a call here. Hopefully, call us a call here. It's a Tuesday night here, and who knows where everybody is. But what we've been striving to do as the host of Talk Straight is keeping the airways open and keeping the dialogue going. And we'll strive to keep doing it as much as we can. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. to around 8:30. Maybe sometimes it may go longer, it may go shorter. All right? But we're going to strive to keep the airways open here. Give us a call again. Facebook, thank you. Those of you that can see us and are listening to us, feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. And you may have gathered by now that I'm running for office again, this time in the 21st Senatorial District of Tennessee. And we've intimated there how we are seeking to do many of the things that we talked about over the years that we discussed when I was a candidate for the local council, as well as State Senate District 19, which is a different part of Davidson County now. And most importantly, the opportunity for public service and to continue to bring certain things to bear legislatively to ensure the outcomes that we say we want. It always strikes me as interesting to hear people talk about what they want and how they would like things. But when it comes to making the sacrifices, putting the shoe leather on them, you understand? I heard a lady minister used to say all the time, is put your shoe leather on, you know, and where the rubber meets the road, right? That's a hard thing for many people, because we've moved from talk now to action. And oftentimes, that's not easy. It's not easy to act in the face of struggle, of challenge. But it's necessary. It's necessary. All right? This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we got phone lines over. You can give us a call here, 657-383-0944. I just want to be flexible with the dialogue here with you. Y'all go ahead and give me a call, and we'll just talk, you know. We'll just talk. Yeah, bear with me there. All righty. I'm going to open here. There is a big issue with people's money. And now it seems it's across the board everybody's challenge, right? Because of, I believe, a historical statement that is altruistic in nature. It was made by Armchair Rothschild back in 1834. He was a well-known economist at the time and a philosopher, right? And businessman, right? And what he said is that it mattered not to him who was in power, who was in office as president or anything like that. He said, if you just give me control of things that drive the economy, I can control the whole nation. That's something, because when you think about it, he was spot on. And that's what's happening today. The decision to stop the Keystone Oil Pipeline production and to stop certain processes that were going on right here in the United States prior to President Biden taking office are having a direct effect on the cost of bread, milk, other goods and services, chicken, meat, a direct effect is having on that. You know, you depend on what you look at, where you look in the media, it's a different spin on why that is. But what we know for sure is gas prices are high, right? And because that gas price is high, it affects those people that transport goods and services all around the nation, the truck drivers. And the truck drivers charge the grocery stores and the retail stores. And who do you think they pass that on to? Yep, that's where it goes. That's where it goes. Rothschild was correct that if an interest group or individual is able to have direct influence on policies that prevent or block or restrict certain processes, economic, social processes, they can affect your day-to-day life. That's what we're seeing. Now, when it comes to things like education, the function of a public education historically is to prepare young people to be made aware of how to become productive citizens in our society. Right, by mastering certain content areas like reading, math, science, and the arts, at least having a basic understanding of those things, right? And they're being able to make conscious decisions and logically process things. Be aware of what's going on in your local city, right? specific expectations there. What's going on your state level? Legal expectations there. And nationally, what's going on, right? But when you're able to develop yourself in that manner, from the age of 0 to 3, I would argue you learn how to read. You develop reading skills. And from 3 years old and on, you read to learn about different subject areas and matters. It seems to me we've gotten away from that. And now what is happening is people are frustrated and everybody's looking for somewhere to put the blame. Now, where you folk used to be able to directly blame Donald Trump for what they perceived as their woes. Don't blame him no more. He gone. Now what are we going to do? Now I got a good man answer that question for me. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace, joined us, and I know he out there on the grind. That brother's always on the grind, and we welcome him here tonight. You listen to Talk Straight, 657-383-0944. Pastor, it's open mic night. It's open mic night. I know you got some news for me, man. Give me some news I can use.
Hey, man. Oh, man, that's amazing, man. I'm going to say, man, the news is being able to tune in and to lend an ear, man, because I tell you, if you don't have the right ammunition, brother, you can't handle the enemy.
You're in trouble.
I had to realize that he's teaching me something. So I have to be able to lend him an ear, because that's pretty deep information right there. I say, man, don't go into battle with the enemy when you don't have the right ammunition. I said, okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. So that's where I'm at. I'm just thinking about, you know, when he says, bringing it up with the ammunition of the Lord. And that's what's happening with me. How's it going?
Yeah, I tell you, I was just speaking about some of the events that are going on around us, Brother Pastor, and how they're directly affecting people's day-to-day lives. And out of frustration, I think it's natural for all of us to look for answers. You understand what I'm saying? But But some people tend to point fingers. You understand what I mean? I'm just thinking about this issue in Uvalde, Texas, man, one of them in particular. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks now, and the parents and the families are hurt because all those 21 children are dead, and that's a terrible thing, man. And now they want the police to resign. They want to fire people, and they want heads. I don't know that that's going to solve the problem as bad as the law enforcement community look given that particular incident and in that place. You know, it was a very bad look. But do you think that's overkill? I wonder sometimes if the media should let the families finish grieving, man, you know, and let them go through the grieving. Don't keep on rehashing that stuff in the news and pumping them up to be going after somebody. The killer is dead. The one that killed the children are dead. He's dead. They killed him that day, right? And you ain't going to ever be able to bring him back and try him or beat him up or do nothing else to him because he gone. And he was the only one responsible for causing that mayhem. But what do you think about that, Pastor?
I just look at the situation and I just say, you know, it's just a very difficult and awful position to be in. I know that. And I don't have no way of saying how it should be right about now. But I do know one thing.
What's that?
The enemy has a way of doing what he said he come to do. And if people was aware that the Lord himself said that he would send some information if we would hearken to his voice. So it's in between the two. Like, which one would you choose? Would you choose to do things like that would cause more I would say structure of, you know, when you enjoy doing it like you must have been, it was all mapped out or something that somebody was telling me that they had it planned to do, you know, so so the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. So who can he use other than people that are with him to do things like that? So it's not a not a way to say that it was able to be prevented or that it's going to continue or anything like that. It's just the power of information, I would say. And when they, whoever that was mapping it out, I don't even know. I don't even know the situation concerning what happened to the person who did it. I don't even know if he's still around. I think you just said, did he, is that the one you're saying that he passed? He's not here no more or something?
Yeah, the police. Okay. The police killed them that day. The police killed them that day.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you're 18 years old, Pastor. 18 years old. 18
years old. Oh, man.
You know, the devil got 2-for-1, didn't he?
18 years of age, man. That's saying a lot right there.
It is.
That's his position.
This is how the enemy is moving, though, Pastor. This is how the enemy is moving. At just last week, a 20-year-old shot up his neighbor's apartment in the building, and she had to duck and hide with her children to keep them from being killed. And in the end, she called the police. He stood them off, and they wind up taking his life. 20 years old, man.
20 years old.
You understand what I'm saying, Pastor?
Yeah, man.
Something, it begs the question for the generation ahead of these young cats, man. What are we not telling them? What are we missing, man? What are we? I know that it's not my son. It's not your son. But it's our, I consider him all of ours. You know what I mean? I consider all of ours.
Yeah.
I respond. What are we missing, brother? What are we missing, man? I know you out there every day, literally, every day. Don't nobody have to wonder where you are, what you're going for. You understand what I'm saying? And you and I both, I believe we share this in common. It gets frustrating sometimes when it seems like no matter what you've done, it's just the same thing. You know what I mean? I can speak for myself. I know that for sure. I don't know if that's your
sad case.
Yeah,
it is a sad case, without a doubt. There's no doubt about that. It is a sad case all around to know that it's still happening. And, you know, it's just like that thing that what you call choose. You know, you choose to do what's right, you choose to do what's wrong. Sometimes when you don't know no better, you know, you just choose the wrong and end up thinking it's right. So I don't know how they can fix it up that way, but it's amazing that a person can think they're doing something right, but all the time, heading in the wrong direction.
Correct.
So,
correct.
But it sure caused a lot of harm, man. It's been a lot of harm.
It does.
Causing more. Causing more of it, man. I'm telling you.
We're about at the top of the hour here, Pastor, and it's open mic. So I want to keep the floor open to the listening audience. 657-383-0944. What I'd like to do is, it's interesting we're talking about this because when we began this discussion, wow, Pastor, almost 6 years ago now. Can you believe that? Ain't that something?
That is.
In August, it'll be 6 years, dude. It'd be 6 years you've been doing
that
this.
That's amazing.
We started with this commercial that spoke to the lecture series that we were doing, right? And it's interesting.
Right.
6 years later, it looks like we haven't budged in some regards. Not everybody, but for many people, there's been no movement. Let's run this faster. And on the other end of this brief break, we'll come back and talk about that. All right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Ray. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wall, is on with us. And ironically, listening audience, this was our leading promo commercial because we began that traveling lecture series 6 years ago. 6 years ago. And we were able to go to a few cities. And we started here in Nashville, Tennessee, right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor Waller was a part of various seminars and lectures we did, and he and I were working on another radio show, right? And Pastor, you know, I took a beating locally because some people said I was too hard on our people and that I didn't like black folks. Here we are 6 years, Pastor.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Help me with that, Pastor. Help me wrap my mind. Now, the Pookies are still out there. We got young people who feel like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders, trying to make sense out of life and navigate the streets. You understand what I'm saying?
Doing
faster.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Talk to me, big brother. You know, help me, big brother. Help me. I need some help.
I can only say if a person thinks that you don't like a person because you're trying to help them, that's an indication that they may not understand or they may not care or they just don't know.
Yeah.
But when you reach out sometimes to help somebody, it don't feel good when you're bringing the truth and something that makes sense. Now, if you bring some things that don't make sense, that has nothing to do with the truth, and don't expect to get free. No way. You don't get free from just playing and jiving and making it seem like, you know, this is what's real and what's needed. And, you know, it's tough, man. I will admit it is tough dealing with it in that manner. It does happen. People can say all manner of things and don't have no clue. You know, that you basically doing all you can do to help somebody. But they may not see it somehow or another. They just not see it that way, you know? And that's amazing.
Yeah.
It is.
It really is. I remember, you remember Clarence, the late Clarence Kilcrease on 760 AM.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me one time, "You sound bitter." You sound bitter.
I said, no, sir.
I'm not bitter at all. Right?
Yeah.
To be bitter is to take it personal. See? Certainly not it. You know, I am alarmed and I'm bothered and I'm troubled every time we see the same people experiencing the same losses, same troubles, same challenges. You understand what I'm saying? That disturbs me, man. That does disturb. I'm not bitter, but I'm disturbed. And it drives me to ask myself when I go to bed at night, do you deserve to go to sleep with all what everything that's going on? Because you got work, you know what I mean?
That's
it's
right.
So much to be done. But as one man, I realize one individual can't do it all, right? Which is why you hear me all the time, and you and I both have made this cry that it's a collective issue that we all have to bring ourselves to the floor to. Now, if somebody say, oh, we got this program, and we're doing this at our church, and we're doing this in our center on our block, wonderful. Let's take that to scale. And that's the one thing I haven't seen us be able to do, Pastor. If you say you got the right answer, okay, we need that. Come on out front, and we know where the problem, we know where the population that needs to be served, don't we, Pastor? Have they went anywhere? Pastor,
they may be still stuck. They may be still stuck.
right. You know, if you call the fire truck, because you done been in a wreck, it's easy to figure out where the fire truck needs to go, ain't it? Right there where the car is turned upside down. Huh?
Yeah. And don't be on the way.
Right. So all I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make here is, it's not that we don't know who our people are, where they are, or what they need. Those are not questions we have to ask. We know that already. You got some people say, Pastor, we need to take time to do a study, and we need to analyze the situation, and we need to come up with an answer and with a plan. Well, at this late date, if you don't know by now, man, my goodness, how much weight or usefulness do you have? We live right there in these urban areas where these things are going on, urban America, right? Because that's let's put the oil where the squeak is, right there where it's going on. And if you can't see with your own two naked eyes who, what, when, where, and why, maybe you're part of the problem, because you're definitely not part of the solution. Definitely not part of the solution. We're joined by St. Louis. Welcome, St. Louis. It's open mic night. And we're just speaking in general about some of these current events, man. And I was just talking about 5 years, almost 6 years ago now, we began this conversation addressing at-risk male youth. Not everybody, let me make that very clear, not everybody, young males, are having these problems. I understand that. But as you all know, I'm talking about those who are. Say a little question to come in, or do you have another topic or thought you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, I don't know what to say. You talk about at risk.
Yeah.
Black male youth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I understand. I was just saying that sometimes it's frustrating, St. Louis, when you've done what you know to do, and it doesn't seem as if you're moving the needle at all. And that's not for everybody. Let me reiterate that. Not for everybody. But for too many of them, the variables are such that you can't control all of them.
Well, blacks don't want to recognize it themselves.
Okay.
There, in fact, lie the problem, I think. You got blacks that still want to blame white folks for what these black youth or these black males are doing.
Okay.
You got the news media want to put all this emphasis when a white male does something. They want to spell it out. White male attacks black subject. They never spell it out and say black male attacked other blacks. Never talk about it like that.
Hmm.
And that's wrong.
Okay. Well, whoever's guilty ought to be, that's who you ought to point the finger to. And I would just say this, that one of, I was talking to my brother, and he said he ran across a young man in Chicago, And the young man said, man, we looking to y'all as OGs, man. We want y'all to tell us how to make it out of here, man, what we should be doing right and how we do it right and so forth and so on. And I think it's a lot of truth to that. Pastor Wallace on with his gentleman. I think it's a lot of truth to that, that these young guys are looking for answers. And if Dockery is not capable and willing to give them an answer, really, you know, is Dockery in the way? Is he part
they
of
ran part? Past the answers a long time ago, Dockery. They ran past the answer, the solution, the pathway. They just walked right on by. And that's,
do you mind?
As sad as it sounds, it's a reality.
Okay. Will you tell us what you think that solution was? Because before you do that, there are a lot of people in St. Louis. I run into it myself. You know, as hard as I work here locally, you run into the case where you got everybody popping up and they want some name recognition because I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and it's almost like a competition. You know, nonprofits are competing.
It's what you call one better.
Yeah. And that's not really what it's all about, man, because what we see is that obviously all of us together collectively have fallen short in terms of addressing the issue. But what is that answer that you say they run past years ago?
It's this age-old thing that has to be done, and it has to start off with their child when they're young.
Okay.
Got to instill certain things in them. Mm-hmm. You got to see what they have in them that can be nurtured and modified.
Okay.
Then you got to work to bring that out.
I see.
That ain't been done. Especially in black kids in the urban area. I started to see it now also amongst whites, too.
Mm. Well,
especially white women. White women is very gullible. Had the instance with the squeegee boys. You've heard of them. The squeegee boys.
Okay.
The ones that want to wash your windows while you're waiting on the light to change.
At the light. Yeah.
And if you don't let them, they get mad at you and want to bust your windows out, snap off your windshield wiper blade.
Well, they're not doing it here so much, but in Chicago, that's real big, man. That's real big. I know for sure.
So one white woman was so gullible enough to let one kid use her phone to charge up his cost on her Cash App. So he hollered, hey, y'all, she got a Cash App.
Boy.
It came over, one charge $800, the other charge $1,200.
Okay. Now, that's exactly who I'm talking about. I'm going to say Dockery got to do better to reach her. I won't say I failed. But that's exactly who I'm talking about. We got to find the right. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth, gentlemen. I'm going to tell y'all the truth, Pastor Wallace and St. Louis. I'm going to tell y'all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. The reality is, if you're really going to reach them, you got to snatch them out of that environment and put them in the appropriate therapeutically laced environment to help them change their mind. You can't change their mind. They have to do it themselves. But there are certain conditions under which they are best prone to change their mind. That's what I don't see happening. Now, when they get locked up, Pastor Waller, first thing they do when they're juvenile, they haul them all to juvenile detention. And they stay there maybe a few months, 6 months, 3 to 6 months. And what do they come right back to? Still haven't been rehabilitated, though. See? And all they do is they get older and older. And the only real matriculation or graduation they see is from juvenile detention to the prison system if there's no appropriate intervention. And Pastor, you know, I've argued a long time ago with all this unused real estate called churches, there's an opportunity for us to place the right type of guidance, counseling, and instruction, and so forth in those places to where rather than send them to juvenile detention, to criminal justice system, bring them back to your own people. But if your people ain't ready, Pastor, if the preacher don't know, how you going to, the Bible said, how can the people hear without a preacher? And how could the preacher preach itself to be sin? Maybe they ain't sin. I ain't trying to throw no stones or nothing like that, Pastor Waller. But maybe, something wrong, man. Something ain't adding up here now. What's the word for these young cats? Pastor Waller, help me with that. I don't want to throw no stones, Pastor. Is that right?
Yeah, but it's not throwing no stones. You get it?
Okay.
You know, you just stand with the word of God. Say it. You know, if you got all these buildings around, and if you're not doing anything that would cause the people to get information, of course, what comes after that? The priest don't teach them. That's what it's supposed. It's designed to teach them. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So yes, it's, they can call it throwing stones. You won't see, but I believe that it's called getting right ammunition.
Throwing
up a child. Good ammunition.
Right. Well, and for sure, St. Louis, you own to something there. In that really the root of the training starts in the place that has custodial custody. And we usually call that the home or the family, right? And we know that is taking on a different look today than traditional. What were you going to say, St. Louis?
Yeah, but you know, you say they need to have guidance. What would that guidance look like? All right, you got a building. You got five young men. So what you going to teach them? What you going to tell them?
Great question.
You going to tell them a story about Daniel and the lion's den? People don't want to hear that.
But wait a minute. Wait a second.
What good is that going to do them?
Big brother, you asked a great question. Give me a chance, man. Well, now, it's interesting you use Daniel in the lion's den as an example, because that story is allegorical to the fact that the Creator has certain situations that are beyond your control. And despite that, through the hope and faith and what have you, can overcome. Now, here's what the teacher's saying. We got, right? So you, me, Pastor Wilder, we got, let's say we got 100. They in four walls. They can't go nowhere. We got the undeveloped. This is what when y'all hear me talk about the dark room, the 6x6, this is what this concept is all about. They're in a room, St. Louis, and really the first step, St. Louis, I really believe, is to allow them to become comfortable with pulling themselves away from the streets and the lessons of the streets, right? And modeling for them. And you'll notice that this is not something that's going to happen overnight, but if it is properly organized and structured, it could be long-lasting.
Yeah, but how is that going to look?
Well, oftentimes what you'll find, St. Louis, is that these young men don't have a steady father figure in their lives. Right? And
well, I don't know if they do or not, but I don't know. I'm listening to see how this is going to look.
Yeah, well, and I'm not suggesting I can give you the full theoretical model tonight, but I'm just trying to give you in this general conversation. What is needed, though, is to create a dialogue and a bond report with these young men such that they will keep coming back. See, Go ahead.
What you going to tell them, though? You ain't... See, you got. Well, you gonna start the story. You gonna start a 5-chapter story, and the first night you do 2 chapters, and tell them to come back with 3, 4, and 5.
Most.
That's what I
want.
I hear people say these things.
Sure. I get what you're saying. Most of the time, people think that there are some specific words, but I have learned that oftentimes just you being there and being an example. Modeling where they want to be. See, that means my stuff got to be intact, though. My heart, my mind, my presentation, and the aura I give. See, there's an old saying in the street, game, no game. These young shorties know when you run a game and when you're real. and when you're not real. They may not be able to articulate that in those words, but they know it. See, so you got to come with a pure heart, first of all.
These young men is driving a better car than you, got more money in their pocket, and their girlfriend look better than your wife. So what are you going to tell them?
Watch yourself. Well, that's the assumption. See, that driving a car, having money, and what is said to be a good-looking girl is living life. What profit is sent to us, a man, to gain the whole world, all these material things, and to lose his soul?
Well, they ain't worried about that. They only worry about today. They ain't going to start worrying about their soul until they get 60. And they see the grave opening up. So what I'm saying is this. All that sounds good, and everyone gives a generic description, but lacking of detail, specifics. And when you look at them, some young people ain't coming to see that. These young people today is different. They ain't going to come see that.
Guess what I found out? When they're restricted from certain freedoms where they can't go nowhere, they'll first have a breakdown, and where you have your breakthrough and are able to build rapport. That's what my experiences have told me. You got to get to a point where you can have a healthy breakdown, St. Louis. And you can't do that when they're free to go and come when they get ready. Because they'll run back to mama, their girlfriends, their baby mamas, and everybody else, and they will start to pacify them over and over again. And that will interrupt, basically, with the process of the breakdown in order for a breakthrough. So, and, you know, I realize I'm not giving you step by step. I got that. I put that in my book, Fatherly Instruction, Understand the Male Growth Process. And, you know, about 10 years ago, I penned those words, and that's what I've used in the lecture series. But I'm saying to you that Pastor Waller would tell you one of the pushbacks I got here locally is from, I had preachers tell me, man, it sounds like you think you're better than somebody else, or, you know, you got all the answers. No, I don't have all the answers. But we've studied this population, urban American, African American males. We've studied this population intensely. And that's where we get, that's where I come from with the assumptions and with the data and approach. Does that make sense, St. Louis?
No, they shouldn't be asking you, do you have all the answers? They should be asking you, do you have the results? But anyway, that's just me. Yeah.
That's where it is. That's where. Anything else, sir? Anything else? What's going on your way, man? What's the world doing to you? How you feeling? Are you happy in America?
I've been under the weather. Oh, yes, I love America.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man. So you love America?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm getting sick and tired of these Democrats, though. Got the economy all messed up and everything else.
Yeah, they're part
inflation.
Of America too.
Inflation high as hell.
We got to discuss that earlier too. Yep. They're part of America too, though. Democrats.
Now they're getting ready to come out with some more mandates on getting vaccinations. You're going to be walking around like a jelly bean with so much damn vaccination in you.
I don't think that's going to fly, St. Louis. I don't think that's going to fly. They can come out with the mandate, but ain't too many people going to follow. Mask or vaccine or none of that. That's over with. That dog will not hunt no more. The gig is up. And I believe they kind of got enough sense to know that, too. Now, all the money they did make on the vaccine, give it up. You ain't making no more. So with. So that, there you go. Well, so, Pastor Waller, it's the seventh month, man. And this year is on its way out here. Five more months before 2022 is gone. Can you see any progress? January?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Always something when you're inside the will of God and you understand that he does have a will. You know, it's a thing where it looks like no progress, it looks like, but that's why he said we walk by faith.
Okay.
Not by sight, but sound.
Right. Right.
I take him at his word, man. Just keep standing.
Okay. Well, that's right. Certainly, you know what needs to be done. Ain't no need to back up and leave. And kind of reminds me of the story of these guys out fishing. It's a biblical story, albeit. And they were getting ready to pack up for the day, gentlemen. And they said, man, we ain't caught no. We've been out here since 5 a.m. Here it is 7 p.m. and we ain't caught no fish. Let's go home. And here come a one man, my friend J.C. J.C. said, hey, boys, how about we go do some fish? They said, man, you crazy. We've been here all day, man. We ain't caught no fish. He said, no, y'all come on now. I'm going to teach y'all how to fish. They said, man, we ain't caught no fish all day. And I told you we've been out here since 5 this morning. J.C. said, come on, I'm going to show y'all how to fish, man. When they gave him 1 minute, gentlemen, 1 minute, the story says that their vessels were so full they couldn't even contain all the fish. Huh? So just when they got ready to quit, Pastor Wallace, and to throw in the towel, their hands in surrender, here come hope. Here come hope. Here come hope. And that's what I'm saying. It may look bleak, may look dark, unsurmountable, but there's always hope. Job said that there's hope that if a tree is cut down, dried up at the root, just the scent of a spring of water, there's hope it'll sprout again. I like those odds right there. If I'm going to gamble, I'm going to roll the dice, I'm rolling mine on those. How about you, St. Louis? Can you roll on those?
Nope. I'm going to stand back and watch you and Wallace.
I believe if I had to be a gambler, man, Jim, I would throw my dice on that right there. That's hope. That's beyond me. So, but yeah, okay. All right. 657-383-0944. Number to call. We still got a few more minutes here. About 26 more minutes before we wrap it up for the night. Pastor, any other gentlemen? Any other? Give me anything else y'all want to bring to bear? No. Going one, going twice. All right. Sold to the highest bidder. I noticed that. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was waiting on you.
I just know.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, lives are changing constantly.
Okay.
That's by itself. Lives are changing, and I mean, people are not 60 years of age. They are changing. If you're 60 years of age, that's when a person's trying to find out how to change, but that's not accurate, because I know so many people whose lives have changed, and younger. It's getting younger and younger now. But it goes unknown. The news don't want you to know that. Some news, you know, it's like, why tell them this kind of stuff? It might cause somebody else to want to change. Well, it's already moving now, so... Change is happening, man. A lot of people lies.
Okay. And we don't hear about them quite often. I did read an article, Pastor, where this one young man turned everything around. This is most recently. And he had a little rough start, right, with a single-parent mom. Had a little rough start, but he had some mentors. I want to say this was in, was that Baltimore? I believe that was Baltimore. I may be mistaken about it. But anyway, because of the efforts of the mentors, they saw how he was able to focus better academically, improve his grades, and working and what have you. And now he's on pace to start college next year. And he was basically in line of gunfire and gang banging and so forth and so on prior to. But part of what they did, gentlemen, was to remove him from that triggering environment that he lived in. They literally moved him out of the city to some other place that was foreign to him, where he can focus on the support that they were trying to offer. And they found that worked for him. Now, that can be very costly, trying to do that for everybody, but that's just one example of how some things can change. So, were you going
to
say something?
Yeah, they try to move out in white folks' neighborhood.
I don't know if it was white people that he lived around. I don't know
to be. You say it was academically. If you're saying it's academically and it has something to do with guns, you're moving out of the hood, where would you move where the academics is much better and you don't have the violence? It ain't going to be in another hood.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if
it's if it is, where is this place?
Again, I believe it was the Baltimore area that this, where this case, I have to look again. But what I understood is that it was that triggering environment that he lived in that city, that neighborhood, that had him spiraling, right, and risk. But when they moved him from that city and he moved with another group of people in another city, and basically it was his orientation of activities. He was going to church. He was being tutored and going to different groups and other activities, dream building type activities, different from what he was used to in the Baltimore area. And that helped him to reshape his thinking, retool his mindset, right, and his behavior. And he saw how he was successful academically as opposed to the school he was going to and the other vices and distractions from learning and so forth and so on. He was able to clear his mind in a different environment. I think that's the greater point here, that that was my takeaway from it, at least anyway. And again, that can be real costly trying to do that for everybody. But it just speaks, though, Pastor Waller, to if we're going to spend money, government money or private business investments, that's what we should do for Nashville and all these others to behavior, change the environment, and get rid of certain things and certain people that are in the way, right? Go ahead.
I was just wondering, what kind of person who, you said, shot 21 people or killed 21 people? And
Caucasian boy.
Huh?
That was in Uvalde, Texas. Le Caucasian boy, yeah. 18 years old.
Oh, okay.
18 years old.
Okay, so he wasn't black, that's what you said.
No. He wasn't black. Okay. He wasn't black.
What do you mean?
Not at all.
About probably was well-to-do, and they don't tell him they may have already had, but they, for some reason, they feel like, I guess I'll go out here and do this. But it's all right for them to do it. And, you know, I think it's just a sad case. You know, you pinpoint a particular color and belittle that color, but they don't say nothing about nothing like that. I mean, that's kind of amazing to hear things like that, because you should have compassion on anyone who is dealing with things like that. I mean, that's just like, you know, a person can be just in a rage in their mind and just take off and just start shooting up people. You're trying to find out the color of it. I think it's sad either way. He's 18. Years of age. And it could inspire us to do it. It could inspire somebody to do that.
Yeah.
But
you were asking about his background, and what is reported is that he had a very troubled life himself. Poverty ridden, mother was an addict, I believe, and dad had spent some time in the pen, and he was a heavy drug user, right? Now, unfortunately, what we're seeing more and more, Pastor, is it's not just black youth that are getting caught up in these things. Now, the media unfairly take the attention off of many of the white youth until they do something really, really drastic. And I've argued this for years. One of the reasons I believe these young Caucasian males go so far to do things that a lot of black males are doing in terms of shooting up a whole lot of people at one time is because they want to make sure they get all the attention that they can in that one incident. See, you hear about Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Baltimore, shoot up, bang up, shoot up, robbery, gang banging, and they get all the attention. These are young white boys who are lonely and depressed and want some attention. They say, I do it big enough to where the news media is going to come and see me. They're going to say something about me. And that's a lot of them, you look at them, and some of them embrace rap and some of the other subcultural trends and what have you, all trying to find an identity, trying to be validated, trying to fit in. And they think that because the news media, the only time you see a lot of black males in urban areas is on the 6 and 10 o'clock news for something negative. So they go and do something negative, and they go to the extremes with it. I'm sorry, you were trying to say something, Pastor.
Well, I'm just saying to you, it's something about that that it's got a real, real sensitive, you know, and I would say when I say sensitive, you know, when I think about that, it's like they want to utilize he wasn't in his right mind. But, you know, don't talk about it real
right.
quick.
But right.
Got a
right.
person who I do something, and they broadcasting it every time you turn around on the news. I said, man, they're still saying that about this? And I just realized that they can put more emphasis on it and then get the mind away from something like that. It just took place. He wasn't, he had a lot on his mind, and so the person of color don't have none on their mind. They just,
yeah, they ain't got no problem. That's just natural for them.
You know, yeah. So excuse what I'm saying. When the Word of God said that, it was really no excuse, you know, when you get down to
right.
it. But there's a reason for things that are going on, but I don't think that's excusable. It's almost saying, turn it back over to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, you know, first of all, I don't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take for you to go about doing things like that? Go back. Because you need to take
right.
off and go shoot up. And say they get ready to take over. You know, in other words, we doing this because they get ready to take over. Look like they get ready to take over. What? Is that what you saying for real? You really meant that? Things like that, man. And I trust that that's when they say something like that, they mention the blacks.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
What you mean, what's going on?
Well, so one thing that I looked at, Pastor, I was talking to a good friend of mine now. He's high ranking in the police department. You know, I did some training a couple of places. And I said to him, we've got to stop making the mistake of labeling young black males as gangbangers 5 and 6 and 10 years old. They don't even know how to pee straight. Huh?
Yeah,
see, right. And see, your point that you're making is, depending on who it is, it's because they have a mental health illness or they weren't thinking straight. But the assumption that the media or the portrayal is that for African-American males, this is just natural for them to be violent, vicious, and destructive. It ain't like they got something on their mind. They not bothered by nothing in life, right?
No,
but
no.
Then you subtly start placing this characterization on young males at a young age. Stop doing that. Stop labeling them as offenders at a young age. You understand what I'm saying?
Freedom.
Some of them just get a good old-fashioned belt on their behind, and they'll be straight. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Because you're doing them a disservice, and you're misleading them. And basically, if that's what you tell them, that's what they are, that's what they're going to come to be. A hardcore criminal. Huh?
Don't take much.
No. No, tell them, look here, man, you ain't bad. Sit down somewhere. And I love you enough to move your behind. I love you enough to stand behind all the people. And then when I get through, I'm a hug you and tell you I love you, like peanut butter love jelly. Give me some wheat bread, though. Give me a little wheat bread on mine. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be telling these little babies that you are bad and you are this and you're labeling them and can't. Stop that. Society must stop that because that's part of the problem right there. And again, I just want to emphasize that when you look historically at the heinous nature of a lot of these young Caucasian males, what you see is they go all out to get massive attention in the national media. But you look at the same type of behavior in urban America, and it's become normalized and acceptable to where ain't nobody paying attention to that. Now, you don't think these young cats are out of their mind, too? That they drug them too, sort of. They messed up. That's the problem. But anyway, that's something, man. That's where the work is. I gotta go and make my money, Pastor, so I can pay for the work to be done. That's all, huh?
Yeah.
Get it right so I can get it tight. That's the way it go in America, though. Gotta pay the cost to be the boss. That's what St. Louis friend James Brown said. He paid the cost to be the boss. I'm messing with you, St. Louis. I know you don't like James Brown. I know you don't care for him too much. All right. Final thought, gentlemen. St. Louis, anything else before we cut out here, man? Uh-oh, he must have muted himself. I think he took a phone call there. All right, Pastor Waller, have we covered enough for tonight?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting myself. You know that everything's here flowing, so a little can go a long way when you bring it.
Yes, sir.
Positive to the table.
Yes, sir.
And realize that it's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Got to keep on pushing.
Yes, sir. And if nothing else, yes, sir. And if nothing else, Pastor, we kept our promise. If no other time, one more night, we kept our promise to keep the show open and the dialogue alive to whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come. So we're grateful for that. You have been listening to Talk Straight, and this is your host, but Dr. and we got Pastor Wall on with us, and our friend from St. Louis there. He was with us there, but we're grateful for him tuning in tonight. And if you listen to this after the fact, feel free to join us next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. Lord willing, in the Creek Young Wise. We'll be right back to bring you another episode of Talk Straight. Pastor, take us home. Somebody said you don't need no spaceship to take you home because Pastor Waller got the microphone. The master rapper. Everything going to be all right. Wrap us up for tonight, brother.
Yes, sir. I want to say, make sure you know that the word of God said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us
watch out, man.
Come into the Lord. And then start to find ways and means to get a better perspective on life. You won't have to deny it. All you have to do is try it. And
my
one
man.
Thing I found out about when I tried it, I discovered one thing about it. I liked it. And that is more than enough evidence for me to say, I have to say, I hunger right now and I thirst for more. So just remember, whether you got something out of this session or not, it's good for you to do what it says out there, 40:31. They that wait up on the Lord shall renew their strength. Take a little bit go a long way until you're able to get more. And I believe you would enjoy it because taste and see the word says that the Lord is good. And he said, blessed are the men who trust in him. So one day I decided to trust in him, and I thank God for that taste. So just tune in to the broadcast. We thank God for what Pastor Doctor is doing. Keep on doing it, and God will provide.
All right. Yes, sir. You have been listening to Talk Straight. That's our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, two-time author. And listen, the late leader of the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Joe Ligon, said it like this. He said that if Jesus can't fix it, nobody.